Father, we love you, we worship you and praise you, and just thank you for your help. I just thank you, Father, that in Jesus Christ there is life and life more abundantly. I thank you for the Holy Spirit who leads and guides. And what we want to do today, Father, is emphasize what you're emphasizing. We just are thankful for the Holy Spirit. We are just thankful, Father God, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And that we get to know the truth, and the truth makes us free. So we thank you for that. And Father, as I share what you've put in my heart today, just thank you for utterance and clarity and words that communicate correctly what you want. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I love something Kenneth E. Hagin used to say. I was going to Bible school, and he said, sometimes picking up the things of God is like if you had a penny or a dime on top of this desk, and you're trying to pick it up, but you got gloves on. And, you know, you can feel it, and you can move it around, but actually picking it up sometimes takes a little bit extra. And that's kind of how I feel today. I've got a message in my heart, but putting it together was where I was wrestling and struggling with it a little bit. But how many of you know God is faithful? Amen. So if you'll do me a favor, if you'll just draw. Do you know what I mean by that? Want to hear. That's just another good way of saying it. If you'll just want to hear, if you'll be hungry to hear, it'll pull. Pull on that gift of God. Because honestly, you don't want me up here talking out of my head. Somebody say amen. You don't. You don't. There's parts up here, a lot of it up here has gotten renewed, and that's good. But how many of you know not all of it is renewed yet? And you don't want that part talking to you. Amen? But there's a gift on the inside from God. And then he puts truths in here for you. And if you will draw on that, say, God, what do you got for me today? Use this vessel, use this servant to speak to my heart, and I'll take it in, amen, to speak to my mind and to my understanding, and I'll take it. It'll help immensely. Did you know Jesus wanted to do miracles in his own hometown but couldn't? Jesus couldn't. Why? Because they didn't value the gift of God that he was. And when we value the gifts of God that he has put in our midst, that includes me, that includes you, God can work through that individual greater and more mighty, and then the supernatural takes place. Somebody say amen. 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 So here's what I want to talk about today. Do you ever think we make things too hard? We make stuff too hard. We do. As Christians, we make things too hard. And what do you do when something's hard? When you have something ahead of you that's hard, what is a tendency that a lot of us might do? Overcomplicate it. Overthink it. Avoid it. Procrastinate. Give up. How many ever talk yourself out of something before you ever try? You're having about 6-7 people sitting around talking, you know, da-da-da, and then something's coming up. And by the time that conversation's over, you're done. That's just going to be, you talked yourself right out of it. See, we have a tendency to make things too hard. And when we make things too hard, then we will avoid them. Then we won't do them. Now, it'll get real here. How many of us, you know, just think it's hard to witness to people? So then what maybe do we do? We avoid it. We don't do it. How about praying for somebody on the sidewalk or in the grocery store or something like that? What do we think? That's going to be hard. So what do? Avoid it. Maybe we ought to stop making stuff so hard. Because, it doesn't, turn to look at somebody and say, it's not all that hard. And we've all been through stuff. How many people in here have been through stuff? Can I have a show of hands? Every hand goes up because everybody's been through stuff. Everybody. And I don't want to ever make light of somebody who's going through something. But we can read about people in the scriptures who have gone through stuff and such great victories. Such great victories. So I got three passages of scripture that I'm going to use for a text here, and I'll give them to you. One is Matthew chapter 11. That's where I'm going to start. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. The next one is Hebrews 12, 1 through 4. Hebrews 12, 1 through 4. And I just have a question. I'm giving you all these in a row, and I know that, you know, we're changing and we use phones and iPads now more. Is there a way you can pre-program the text that I give you so you could just push a button? Not that you know of. I don't know. I was just thinking that ought to be a new church app. Oh, that's my idea, you guys. Do not steal that. You know, there are people who are millionaires that come up with just an app. Thank you, God. Oh, church is good. So when you see that new app come out, you know where it came from. Amen. There's probably already a way. Anyway, so Hebrews 12, 1 through 4. And our last one for this, you know, the foundation of this is 2 Corinthians 2, 14. 2 Corinthians 2, 14. But start here with Matthew 11. And actually, if you can, open to Hebrews 12 at the same time. I want to kind of flip back. I know I'm going to want to do that with these. Praise God. Matthew 11, starting with 12, verse 28. Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Okay? So Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are what? Heavy laden. Who labor and are heavy laden. We got different translations here. Who labor and are heavy laden. So is this guy working hard? Amen. He's working hard. Does he have a big load? Amen. He's working hard and he's carrying something heavy. Amen. You ever been there? Yeah, we've all been there. Maybe you're there right now. Come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Anybody like the thought of rest? In the middle of labor and heavy laden. Amen. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. You know, we've heard it said lots of times, the soul consists of the mind, the will, and the emotions. Anybody like a little rest in that area, that arena of your life? In your mind, your will, and your emotions? Find some rest. Can you find rest in the middle of chaos? Can you find rest in the middle of storms? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That I can find rest in the middle of a storm. I'm thinking about this story. This guy was sharing on TBN. I don't remember what country he was in, but he got caught passing out tracts. He was sharing tracts, and that was a no-no. And he got caught, and then he got thrown in a hole that was maybe 3 feet across and about 30 foot deep. That's where they threw him. And he was in there for days and days on end. They did not bring him out so he could go to the restroom. They did not bring him out to feed him food. They just dumped food down the hole. And as he's sharing his story with some pretty good detail, Paul and Jan Crouch started crying. Tears are running down their face, and they're crying. And he saw their tears, and he looked at him and says, knock it off. Quit that right now. I don't want to see another tear, because I want to tell you, the best place I've ever been in my life was the bottom of that hole. Because Jesus was with me all the time. And if I could, I would say to you, put me back in there. Best place he had ever been. Because Jesus Christ was there. Amen. We look at that and we think it's got to be hard. And he's going, send me back in. Wow. I tell you what, Jesus can bring you a peace and he can give you a rest in the middle of the most horrific storms. I think of Paul and Silas in prison, and I can't remember the author's name, Ray Bolt's song, I believe it is, and he's singing about Paul and Silas in prison, and then the lyric was, "No matter what tomorrow brings, I will praise the Lord." I love that outlook. I love that attitude. Can you imagine being in prison, and your back has just been beaten, and you've been whipped, and then that thought running through, no matter what tomorrow brings. How many of you know if you're in that condition, and you've been tossed in prison, tomorrow might not be so good? But no matter what tomorrow brings, I will praise the Lord. Wow, Paul and Silas in prison at midnight, praising God. And who showed up? Amen? God showed up. So I don't make light of going through things, but there is someone that will help us to lighten that burden. You know, just think about this. For my yoke is easy. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. There's a key right there. Learn from me. Learn from Jesus. Turn and look at somebody and say, learn from Jesus. Learn from him. One of the greatest ways to learn from him is read the word. Read the word of God. Study the word of God. Read God's word and learn from Jesus. He can make things so much easier. Amen. Doesn't have to be hard. And learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. I love that. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. Now I have a question. I've never heard too many ministers ask it, but I like to ask it. What is the yoke? Because he says, take my yoke upon you. How many of us, when we hear yoke, we think heavy, we think burden, we think hard? And so what is that yoke that Jesus wants us to take upon? Love thy neighbor, his plan for our life. That's how I like to say it. You know, to live humbly and do justice. To love your neighbor as Christ loved them. What will he do when we take his will and his plan and his word upon our life? Is that supposed to be heavy and hard? No, it's not supposed to be heavy and hard. But how many Christians talk about the Christian life as heavy and hard? When Jesus said, if we come to him, take his yoke upon us, learn from him, that yoke is easy and that burden light. Do you know why? Because we're not doing it in our own strength. We try to do too much stuff in our own strength. I got tired of that. Thank you. I got tired of that. I got tired of carrying the load in my own strength. Amen. I'm glad you appreciate that. It was like last Sunday, I said, that's not a wishing well. And Joan Dunnick laughed. Nobody else laughed, but Joan did. So I thank you for those one or two here and there that get my humor. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. That's why she married me, is because I'm so funny. She just thought anybody that's this funny, you got to be with, you know. I had a new joke for my wife every day, you know, when we were dating. Sad is, I had to let those jokes go. Cannot repeat them. Anyway, all right. So, how many of you like easy and light? Come to Jesus and learn from him. Okay, Hebrews. Did you mark it? Hebrews 12. There's a little thing in here. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Hebrews, I hope I said 12, verses 1 through 4. These are all part of my text, the thought, that we make Christianity too hard. It doesn't have to be that hard. It doesn't have to be that hard. Therefore, verse 1, Hebrews 12, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now he gives us some instruction here. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before us has endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3. We'll just go through verse 3. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. See any connection in these verses that we read over there in Matthew and here? Labor, heavy laden, find rest for your soul. For consider him who endured such hostilities from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. You think Jesus has got anything to say to us about what we go through? He does, doesn't he? Amen. And you know what? I would just say this. If you're weary and you're discouraged in your soul, it's time to stop and consider Jesus. Read that verse of Scripture again. Read that verse of Scripture. Look at it again. For consider him who endured. He went through some stuff, you guys. How many of you know Jesus went through some stuff? For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. All of you who are heavy laden, come to Jesus. And what will he do? He'll give you rest, for his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Amen. Glory to God. So if you're heavy, discouraged in your soul, just consider Jesus. Start looking at him. Start learning from him. Amen. That's just a real simple truth, and I'm not done there yet. But do these things indicate that it doesn't have to be heavy? That there's a weight for it to be easy and light? And I say this, you know, used to say it jokingly, but now I think there's some seriousness about it. The thought of easy and light, I'm attracted to it. Anybody in here ever taken a test in school and you knew the material? You knew the subject matter? Amen. Praise God. One hand, too. Okay. There's a few more now. Anybody in here ever taken a test in school and you did not know the subject matter? You did not know the material? And you had those ones that you did know. Which one did you find yourself most attracted to? Amen? You found yourself most attracted to, looking forward to, excited about the test in which you knew the material. Amen? Hallelujah. I tell you what, when we get to know the material, we'll find ourselves attracted to those things instead of avoiding them. I had a situation, this is for the end of the message, not the beginning of the message, but I can put it here. I had a situation, Jan, where you at, Jan? Jan called me up one Monday. It was really close to 12 o'clock. I think I had my food ready. It might even been on the plate, hot, and I'm headed downstairs, and I'm going to rest for a bit and eat my meal and watch TV. I was looking forward to it. I was excited. And the phone rings, and Jan called me. And she said, Pastor, there's a couple in our town, and their last living child died. And they've requested you to do the service. How many of you want that phone call? How many of you think, last living child just died. Well, I didn't have my lunch. You know, it just interrupted, changed everything. This was on Monday. I went over, spent Monday afternoon, spent part of Tuesday, part of Wednesday, started Thursday. And God really didn't speak anything to my heart. He didn't give me anything, you know, spectacular. But then I think it was Thursday evening, they were doing a viewing. And the family was there. And the mom is just devastated. And, honey, will you help me? You get to be the mom, babe. And you just get to sit on that chair, and you get to be downcast. You just lost your last living child. And that's the mom in this funeral home at the viewing. And I remember doing this. Looking up at her. Now, how many times are preachers supposed to do that? That ain't normal. But I remember looking up to her, and God gave me words to get through the pain and to get through the heartache. And I remember sitting on the floor going, God, this is fun. God, thank you. Thank you. This is fun, God. This is easy. Now, how many of you think that situation should be hard? That's how we view it. But Jesus made it easy. It was actually fun. It was fun to break through the heartache and to bring hope and to bring life into that lady's emotions. It was fun to start to crack the grief and bring in some peace and bring in some relief to her. Oh, thank you, God, that it doesn't have to be heavy, that it doesn't have to be hard. Amen. Turn and look at someone and say, it doesn't have to be hard. Thank you, babe. Amen. And when I talk about it being hard, it doesn't have to be hard, guys. It doesn't have to be hard. Turn and look at someone and say, it doesn't have to be hard. You know, and I hope you take this with you. I hope you take this with you today. And you catch yourselves in looking at each other in the future, husband and wives, family. And you might find yourself saying, does it have to be this hard? You just ask yourself that question. Does it have to be this hard? Are we looking unto Jesus? Are we considering him? Have we come to him? Are we learning from him? Does it really have to be this hard? It doesn't have to be hard. And I like this thought here. Now go with me to my next verse of scripture, which is 2 Corinthians 2:14. 2 Corinthians 2:14. And I planned on laying a pretty good foundation with these three passages of scripture, and then I might just take off and talk for a while, and I'll make references to scriptures but won't really turn to them. 2 Corinthians 2:14, favorite verse of mine, has been for years. I love it. I love it. I love it. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. What does he always do? Little bolder. Now thanks be to God who always. Somebody say always.
Always.
Somebody else say always.
Always.
You know, when we, all the time. And all the ways in which we need victory, he will lead us into it. Amen? Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. Amen. Praise God. Thanks be to God who always. Somebody else say always.
Always.
Always. Someone else say always.
Always.
Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. Do you believe that? What if we lived from that platform? What if we lived and operated from the platform of we're always led into triumph? We're always led into victory. Do you operate in that platform now? What about when you view those things that are hard? Wouldn't it change our outlook if we viewed things as thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph? Wouldn't we approach things differently? Now, I'm going to get into a subject matter, and I don't want this to be the thing that you take away today, but I'm just using it as an example. And I really understand it could cause a lot of controversy. You know, people in your mind could be wrestling, and I, over the years, have had people say, no way, Pastor, that's not true, that's not true. Okay, here it is. It's going to be the subject matter of sin. Okay, how many of you, let me see how I wrote these down. Just tell me if you think about some things like this. When it comes to sin. Anybody ever here ever think that you have to sin? Nobody ever thinks that? Anybody ever here ever think you're going to sin? Okay, sometimes you gotta, yeah, I'm gonna sin. Anybody in here ever think it's inevitable? Please, please, come on, work with me here a little bit now. Work with me here. If you guys don't work with me here, we're going to pray and go home. Remember, you're going to draw on the gift. You know, how many of us, really, honestly, it's inevitable that I'm going to sin? It's inevitable. Come on now, hook up with me. Yeah, I'm going to sin. The chances of me living the rest of my life without sinning? I love those possibles that are there. Because how many of you know that is true? It is possible. Amen? But how many of you know most of the church world believes that it is inevitable that they're going to sin? But do we have to? Do you think that we make overcoming sin harder than it has to be? Especially if we believe I'm going to sin. It's just a matter of time, isn't it? For anybody who knows me is going, oh yeah, Pastor. No, I'm kidding. But it's just, you know, it's inevitable. We're going to sin. You know, there's a verse of scripture in Proverbs that says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If we think it's hard, it will be. If we think it's hard to witness, we'll avoid. If we think it's hard to overcome sin, we'll talk that way. And how many of you know, I got it written in my notes, think it, speak it, be it. Think it, speak it, be it. If you think overcoming sin is hard, you'll speak it. And guess what will happen? You'll catch yourself sinning, amen? Turn and look at somebody and say, I don't have to sin. There was a little volume with that, but not much volume. Turn and look at somebody and say, I don't have to sin.
I don't have to sin.
Where does the Bible tell you you have to sin? It does teach that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? That's true. That's true. And it gives us provision out of sin once we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, remember 1 John, the gospel, 1 John there, not the gospel, but the letter. It was written to believers. It was written to Christians. And writing to Christians, he said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful to just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't know. Anybody in here ever thought you're going to wear 1 John 1:9 out? Thank God that we can't, but I'm thankful for 1 John 1:9. But I also want to grab a hold of the reality and hold of the truth that overcoming sin is not as hard as I make it. Amen? It's not as hard as I make it. Thanks be to God who always leads us into triumph. Where will Jesus lead me when it comes to sin? He will always lead me into triumph. He will always lead me into victory. So if I'm sinning, I guess I know who I'm not following. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. I don't have to sin. But see, I'm just using this as an example for all those other areas of Christianity where we make it too hard. Well, it's too hard to witness. Who said? Where'd that come from? Who said? How many of you know the things we say can make a big difference? Even the little things we say can make a gigantic difference. Okay, just give you an example here. I should do this both ways. Don't know which way I'll do it first. But we'll do it this way first. Let's say there's a bunch of men sitting around talking. And this one man doesn't know his wife is just right around the corner. And he can hear the conversation. And this man says to his other men buddies, well, I have to go home and see the wife. How many of you ladies would like to hear your husband say that? I have to go home and see my wife. You'd like to hear that? You haven't heard the second half yet. Don't raise your hand so quick. I have to go home and see my wife. As opposed to, I get to. Ladies, what would you prefer? I get to go home and see my wife, man. Well, or you could put it this way, I have to go home and see the old lady. I've heard that people say that. No, but do you see the difference in such a little word? So you know, I have to go witness. No, I have to go pray. No, I get to go talk to the Creator. I get to go talk to the one who made everything. I don't know about you, but that changes everything. You ever hear people, well, I have to go pray. Really? I get to. The privilege, the price that was paid for me to be able to go into my closet and shut the door and say, Father, thank you. That is not hard. But who tries to convince us prayer is hard? Anybody in here ever said prayer is hard? Man, I tried it one time, got to 5 minutes done. I thought I'd been in there 3 hours. You know, we think that way. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It doesn't have to be hard. Does that mean you've never been through anything? No. What do you do when you're in the middle of it? And I'm going to quit here pretty quick. I'm actually going to quit before 11 o'clock today. Because I just want to leave us with this thought. Do things have to be as hard as we make them out to be? They don't. Overcoming sin doesn't have to be as hard as we make it out to be. Just a few verses of scripture in that. Go with me, please, to Romans 6. Romans 6. Y'all doing okay? You going to take something from today? I have an illustration, but I don't know how to demonstrate it. So we'll keep waiting on the Lord, and he'll show me how. Romans chapter 6. Just if we come to Jesus and learn from him, and like I said earlier, how many of you know if we're reading the word, we're learning from him? Because isn't Jesus the word? And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So when I read the word, I'm learning from him. He's teaching me. He's talking to me. Well, notice what he says. Now, we know Paul was the author of Romans, but how many of you know Jesus is certainly involved since he is the word? Look at this. Look at verse 11. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead to sin. So how does the scripture tell us to think about ourselves in regard to sin? Dead. 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 Turn and look at somebody and say, I'm dead to sin. So if you're dead to sin, that's how you're supposed to reckon. Anybody else got a different translation with a different word for the word reckon? Louder. Count yourself. Consider. So doesn't count yourself and consider, reckon, doesn't that all have to do with how you think? So I think I'm dead to sin. How many of you know dead men don't sin? They don't. Dead men don't sin. Now, please chuckle with me a little bit here. Put up with this humor for a little bit here. Dead men don't sin. Now, you okay? You're going to keep going with me here and not get all religious and stiff on me? So you got a casket here, and there's a dead man in there. And you walk up, and you start telling that dead man, oh, you're the greatest thing. You're the greatest thing that ever walked the face of this earth. You are absolutely the best. You're the greatest. I tell you what, you're greater than John the Baptist. You're almost greater. And you start saying that stuff to that guy in that coffin, does his chest start to swell up with pride? No. Why? He's dead. That has no effect on him. So you do it the other way. You are the dumbest, stupidest, most idiotic thing. I don't know why God even bothered with you. Does that have any effect on him whatsoever?
No.
Why? He's dead. Turn and look at someone and say, I'm dead. I'm dead to sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. What if we look at ourselves that way when it comes to... And if you're dead to sin, what do you have to do regarding sin? That's a cool thought. That thought right there is worth a lot. If you're dead to sin, then what impact? What do you have to do to defeat it? Because if you're dead to it, it's got no place in your life. Amen? Oh, Lord, I'm dead to sin. Did you know the Bible does teach us to live holy? As he is holy. Did you know that that is possible then? And it doesn't have to be as hard as we make it. Amen? If we would grab a hold of what Jesus Christ has already done for us. So part of this, if we change our thinking, you know, I don't have to come to church and preach on Sunday. I get to. I don't have to go home and see my wife. I get to. She doesn't have to come home and see me. She gets to. What was that, babe?
Amen.
She doesn't have to say amen. She gets to. Oh, see, how are you catching what I'm saying? What in your life are you facing right now that you think is hard? Does it have to be? Are you maybe making it harder than it is? One other thing, maybe. I want to go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Because we try to do stuff in our own strength, and that's where it gets hard. That's where it gets heavy. We just try to do it in our own strength. We try to figure it out. But over here in Romans chapter 8, verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. I've always enjoyed that verse of Scripture. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body. Is that something you do by yourself, or is that something you and the Holy Spirit do together? Amen? So many times we're trying to do stuff on our own without His help. Oh, Holy Spirit, help me. Jesus, thank you for leading me into triumph. Thank you, Jesus, for helping me. Thank you for giving me triumph over sin. Thank you. You'll always lead me into triumph. You'll always, Holy Ghost, I let you work in me right now. Between you and me, I'm dead to sin. We put to death the deeds of the body. Thank you, Holy Ghost. But I'm alive unto you, Father God. I think about myself, consider myself that way. Man, and then there's all kinds of sin that you don't even see it. It just, the devil tried to tempt you, and you didn't even recognize it because you were dead to it. You didn't even bring it into your life. You didn't even entertain it for a moment. Because you're dead to it. How hard is that? It's not near as hard as we've made it out to be. It's not near as hard as the church world has taught it. Oh, it's so hard to be a Christian. You know what's hard? Sin. Sin is hard. The wages of sin is death. That's hard. Life in Jesus, that's a whole lot better. Amen. Now, how many of you know I'm not just talking about sin today? Please catch that. Please catch that. I'm talking about all kinds of things. You know, and we view it wrong. How many of you think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a hard deal? Tossed into the fiery furnace. They had a hard deal. I'm rethinking that. First of all, from their own words, they were confident in their relationship with God. They were confident that no matter what happened, they're good. Do you think they drug them into that furnace? I don't think they did. I don't think they had to drag them, squalling and bawling and scratching and clawing and all that stuff. I don't think they did. I think these three guys had it settled. Okay, here we go. And now do this with me. Put yourself in the fire. Wow. This is cool. Literally. I'm not burning up. Man, look at, oh, there's Jesus. See, we view it as hard. Where I tell you what, that was full of life. How many of you would like that testimony? Amen. See, we view it as hard. We think about it as hard. But it doesn't. There's so much that doesn't have to be hard. It just doesn't. Thank you. Glory to God. Amen. You know, Paul, he's going through this list of things that he's been through. And how many of you know sometimes we get caught up in making things hard? It gets preached from pulpits. Paul's pleading with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from him. What does God do? My grace is sufficient. Then what's Paul's next words? Most gladly, therefore. I tell you what, bring God into that situation. Bring God into that situation. You know why? Because he knows how to make it easy and light. Amen? He knows how to put you in the, you know, he knows how to keep you in easy and light in the midst of a burning fire. How about Daniel in the lion's den? I think Daniel just kind of walked in, okay. I don't think he was stressing. I don't think he was worrying. I don't think he was hiding in the corner with a stick. Stay away, stay away, stay away. I don't think he was doing that. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Turn and look at somebody and say, it's easy. Man, it's easy. Jesus, you said if I come to you, it'd be easy and light. Oh, I got this. Let's talk. Amen, let's talk. What do you have to say about this? Amen. How many of you in here like making your house payment? For those of you that are making a house payment, how many of you like that? Seriously? Okay, thank you. I see that hand. You know what? I love making my house payment. I enjoy it. I'm excited about it. Why? Because I can. I love it. And then we always put some extra in there. That's a joy for me to make my house payment. It really is. It's a joy for me. It beats the alternative. Not being able to make the house payment. You see, how do you look at it? How do you look at it? Thank you, God. Not only do we make the house payment, but we tack on almost a second house payment. My God meets all my need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Those needs that show up, thank you, God, for the need. Thanks be to God who always leads us into triumph. Folks, if we will live from a platform of triumph and victory in Jesus, you know what? Life will be a lot easier. And we'll be a far more effective in our witness. We'll find ourselves stepping out and loving on people. I remember crying out to God, I want to pray for people. I want to, you know, pray for people in stores. I want to pray for people outside the four walls of the church. I want to pray for people and us seeking after him and walking down the aisle in Walmart, thinking about this, just deliberately thinking about it, just deliberately, you know, opening my spirit for people to pray for. And this lady, an employee, walked by and went, she sniffled. And the Holy Spirit said, there's the one. And all of a sudden, guess what came? Fear. Fear showed up instantly. Holy Ghost, there's the one. Fear showed up. And then I did this in my head. Well, I got to go get something. I'll get it and see if she's here when I come back. Now, I'm the only one that thinks like this. None of you have ever done anything like this at all. Just me. And then I had about 2 steps, and I went, no! I've been praying for God to give me leadings. Went around, and I got a hold of her, and I said, hey, God, just, you know, I want to pray for you. And she looks at me kind of firm, and she goes, well, I'm working. And it was kind of like, you know, I'm working, I got to keep working. And I'm like, it'll only take me a second. Father God, right now in Jesus' name, I just thank you that this lady is healed. We curse this cold and the sinuses are open. I thank you for it in Jesus' name, amen. And I walked away. Went and got whatever I was after and I came back. And I thought, I almost wanted not to come back that way. I'm going to go all the way around the store to totally avoid her section because, you know, but no, I'm not doing that one either. So I come back that way and I see her walking at me and she's got a big old smile on her face. She goes, I am better. I am well. It's gone. And I'm like, thank you, God. And she goes, now I can play with my grandchild. How old's your grandchild? 2 weeks? That's a big deal to her. Man, how good God is. But what was I tempted to do? make it hard. I was tempted to let my thought patterns stop me from even doing it. But guess what happened? Do you see any excitement in me when I share this story? Do you see any life here? Do you see any energy? Yeah. What do you think happens when we take that yoke upon us? It's light, and I'd like to say life-giving. Man, it'll energize you. Amen? Let's go ahead and stand up. I did it. We quit before 11 today. Woohoo! Amen. Something we've started doing here, I don't know how long we've been doing it. I think it's about a year and a half now, maybe 2 years. We just started doing this at the end of every service. For a long time, we've been giving people a chance to receive Christ as Lord and Savior. Every Sunday morning, we never go without doing that. You know, in this building, do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? Do you know Him? Have you met Him? See, because every one of us in here has sinned. And every one of us in here has fallen short of the glory of God. And Jesus Christ died on the cross for every one of us. And He was beaten, whipped, crucified, shed His blood. Amen. And John the Baptist said about Jesus, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Every one of us in here has sinned, but Jesus has taken your sin away. Have you accepted Him and what He did for you? You're in this place, and if you haven't done that today, if you've never asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and be your Lord and Savior and come into your heart, you can do that today. Amen? Amen? Amen. Now, other things you can do today. You can come up here and get healed if you need. Can I get the prayers to come on up, the different members of the prayer team? I see Brian and Marge there. Jan, would you mind coming up today too? Where'd she go? Hallelujah. Glory to God. We want to pray for people who want prayer. Just love to stand with people, pray for people, lay hands on people, let God heal them. Amen? You need wisdom. You need direction. Folks love to pray. Amen? So I'm going to say a word of prayer. I'm going to close the service, and then you're free to slip out. You can stand and worship for a while if you want. You can slip out if you got to go. You can come on up here and get prayer. Be prayed for. Amen. If you've never met Jesus, you can come up here and talk to any one of these folks and they'll introduce you. So let's pray. Father God, right now in Jesus' name, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity to share your word, to speak truth and bring about liberty, bring about freedom. Thank you, Father God, that it really is easier. And there's so many loads and burdens and weights that we can just let go of. So I'd just like to pray this right now. If there's anyone in this sanctuary that's never said yes to Jesus, Holy Spirit, move on their heart right now and talk to them and just nudge them. Nudge them. Help them walk up here and receive Christ. And then God, if there are people in this place that they're carrying heavy loads, they're just carrying burdens, they're trying to do it on their own, that they'd come up here and just let go of it, put it down, just leave it here, and then keep learning from Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Father. And then, Father, as we start to wind this thing down and we go our different ways, thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us, but you're with us always, even to the end. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I thank you, Jesus, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're the healer, the Savior, the forgiver, the deliverer, the baptizer in the Holy Ghost, the mighty counselor. Thank you. Father, we love you and praise you. In Jesus' precious, precious name, everyone says, amen. Amen. Amen.